Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today we're going to talk about an app that is taking the world by storm, which is ChatGPT. We're going to talk about the implications and how powerful this thing is. And in fact, it kind of makes me scared.
So what's funny is you mentioned this on a podcast a couple weeks ago. And I actually wrote it down to check out at another point. But I didn't really put a lot of stock in what you said. And then Gary V talked about it. And I was like, oh, it's legit.
So, oh.
Apparently you haven't hit my legit meter yet. Like, I was like, oh, Steve's just messing around. But then Gary V talked about it. I was like, oh, this is the real deal. Now I got to pay attention.
You know what's funny is I just did a YouTube video where I used it to write my intro because I didn't want to think about it. And what's crazy about it is you can have a chat with it, like a human. Mm-hmm. And so just for fun, the other night, I was chatting with my wife, and then I just punched in what she wrote, and then I responded with whatever the robot responded with.
And how did
and
that
she
work?
Didn't seem
how did
to
that
notice.
Work for you? Oh, really? She didn't notice you typing on your phone as you were talking?
No. I was texting with her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this could revolutionize online dating, is what you're saying.
Well, she thought I was a little too polite. I mean, I was a little too polite, you know, informal. But you can tell it like, hey, make it a little bit more informal.
So I hadn't tried it, and you told me right before we recorded to go check it out. And I can see why you're concerned. I did a bunch of different questions to it, just, you know, chatting with it. And the first one I thought was, well, why don't I do a question that we get asked a lot in the course? Right? Because I would assume that your concern is that this is going to replace like people Googling stuff and so finding the answers to the information that we provide and make
no,
money
I'm
from.
No, I'm not worried about that, actually.
Really?
I'm not
I
worried
am
about that
after
all.
This because.
So. No, because I'm not worried about that because it puts out inaccurate information a lot.
Well, not from my question. So, well, first
okay,
of all.
Okay, well, not from your question. Yeah.
I will say, one, I'm a little disappointed because the first question I asked is, will the Warriors win the 2023 NBA championship?
Oh, what did it say?
It said, I'm sorry, but I'm not able to browse the internet or access current information, so I'm not able to answer that question. I am a large language model trained by OpenAI, and my knowledge is based on the text that I have been trained on. My knowledge cutoff is 2021.
Yes.
So, a little disappointing. I was hoping for like some strategy. But the question that I asked it that we get asked all the time, or we get asked some form of this, is how do I find motivation, right? We have a lot of people who are like, how do I get started? How do I get motivated? And it actually provided some pretty good answers. Number one, set specific achievable goals. Having clear and specific goals can help you stay focused and motivated. Make a plan. Break your goals down into smaller, actionable steps. Find sources of information or support. Surround yourself with people. Reward yourself. Celebrate small wins along the way. Stay positive. Keep a positive attitude and focus on the benefits of achieving your goals. Remember that motivation can come and go. It's okay to take breaks. Like, that is exactly the advice we give people. Like, to a T.
It's true.
I mean, I think that's exceptionally accurate, right? Like,
well, okay. So there's this article that Jim Wang actually pointed me to, how kids are starting to use this to do their homework.
Okay.
But because it's a language processor, so the example I think in that article was this kid was trying to make a paper on Locke and Hobbes.
Okay.
And
the philosophers.
AI got the two mixed up. Because, you know, they're often associated with each other.
Yeah.
And so what ended up getting output was wrong. But you wouldn't really know that unless you actually studied them a little bit and knew the nuances.
Right.
I've done searches also where, so I was writing a blog post about free e-commerce platforms.
Like,
and I was like, okay,
shopping
let's just
carts?
See what this thing. Yeah, shopping carts. Mm-hmm. Let's just see what this thing spits out. And it ended up spitting out a bunch that weren't free or there was one where I asked like who the founders were and it just pulled out this like random white person's name. And I was like, what? I didn't know that. And so I went and looked it up and it was completely wrong. I don't know where they pulled the information from.
But where did you look it up to find out it was wrong? Because is that information
I looked
correct?
On Google. I looked on Crunchbase. Yeah, yeah, it's correct.
Okay, because that's the assumption that when you look on Google, you're getting the right answer, where you can also get the wrong answer on Google.
That's correct, yes. But, you know, I looked at a real database of startups.
You also told me to check out Humor.
Yes.
So I did Why Did the Chicken Cross the Road? You know, standard one. And it said, this is kind of funny. The classic answer to this joke is to get to the other side. However, the real reason a chicken might cross the road could be to reach food, water, or to get to a new area to explore or forage. Chickens are curious animals, and they may cross the road simply out of curiosity or to investigate something on the other side.
Okay, that's not what I meant by humor, by the way.
Oh, what?
by humor, I didn't mean to like tell it a joke or ask it a joke. I meant to just be sarcastic with it and see how it responds.
Okay, yeah. I was like, sure, I can tell it understands. It understands sarcasm.
It understands the nuances of sarcasm and humor.
Okay, so I'm not as... You've obviously played around with this way more than I have.
It's only been out for like a week or two, to the public.
So my question is... If you want to write a blog... So you were writing a blog post on free shopping carts, right? And you went to this tool to do blog research, or were you doing it more to just fulfill your own curiosity?
No, I had already written the post.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, I had already written the post, and I just wanted to see. Yeah.
Well, so let's talk about the good of this. Like, to me, it's like if you're going to write, like if I wanted to write a piece of content on how to stay motivated, like I could literally take all of that and put it in a piece of content and beef it up with practical examples and stories and whatever else. Like, is that like... what you would say would be a recommended use for the platform?
Okay, so you can do that. For something as broad as what you suggested, like how to stay motivated, you could probably have it write the whole post.
Yeah.
You can say, you can also ask it, hey, give me an example of this for each one of those bullet points and have it write a post. Mm-hmm. And it'd probably be accurate and fine because it's a fluffy topic.
Right.
There's no like right or wrong answer. And I don't think that posts would rank anyway, but
those posts typically
here's
don't
the thing
rank.
There's actually
usually I would say
there are services out there now that will detect AI.
okay,
and Google actually put out recently that they said, hey, if you're caught using AI, your site's going to get penalized.
Oh, was this had to do with that other thing that was writing blog posts, the other tool?
There's a whole bunch of tools that write blog posts now based on this engine, though.
Because you were talking, so we talked about months ago about that website that had everything written by AI and ranked really high, like it shot to the top because it had all this content.
Oh, that got penalized big time because word got out about it.
Right.
And Google manually penalized it.
Okay. So Google is saying if you use this to write content, you will not rank, you'll be penalized.
Well, that's their threat. The question is whether they can actually detect it, because as you saw, it's actually written pretty well, right?
Yeah, and there's nothing to stop people from using that as like a springboard.
Correct.
So, okay. So how do you see yourself using this other than just using it to text your wife responses?
Oh. How do I see myself using this? I find it really useful right now for just overcoming like the initial writer's block of something blank. Mm-hmm. So just now I was redoing a few of my emails in Klaviyo for Bumblebee Linens. Mm-hmm. I actually hate writing emails for Bumblebee Linens. Mm-hmm. I just don't, because you know, it's to a different audience that I'm used to talking to and whatnot. So I had ChatGPT start an email and I said, okay, write me an email that tells our brand story. And here's what we're good at. And I listed them out. Mm-hmm. And here's the messaging that I want to give. And then it put out something that was like so bubbly and flowery and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then so the next thing I wrote was, hey, tone it down. And so that's literally what I wrote. I said, tone it down.
This is
tone
your dream. It's someone who actually listens to you.
Yes. And you know what? Since I just did this today, I can actually read the email that
let me just find it. So this is fascinating to me, because then once you got the flowery toned down version, did you make any changes to that?
I did. Okay. I made some slight changes to it. Yes. But the bones of it were pretty good already. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, did like the final 10%, I would say, or 15%, I would say. Okay. You want me to read it to you?
Yeah. Okay. So make sure we're clear. So you went into this tool, you said, write me an email that tells the brand story. You gave them some content. You gave the tool the context, like what the brand was good at, your messaging. It spit something out and then you massaged it a little and this is what you ended up with.
Correct. Okay. And to be specific, I said, this is the name of my company. Yep. Here's why we started it. Here's what we're good at. And, you know, and just had it spit out a couple
things.
Did
you write this in complete sentences? I'm just curious as like how much data you gave the tool. I think it's amazing. Like even.
I did write in complete sentences except for the bullet points where I numbered them. Okay. I said 1.2.3. Okay. I said, just make sure you cover all these points. Okay. So this is the final. I wish I had the intermediate before I edited it.
The fluff.
But yeah. But okay, here, let me read it. Hi, my name is Jennifer, the owner of Bumblebee Linens, and I started this store out of my passion for creating meaningful keepsakes and gifts. The original idea behind Bumblebee Linens began when I was engaged to be married. Now I'm the type of gal who cries all the time, so I wanted something to dry my tears of joy at the altar. As a young bride-to-be, I spent countless hours searching for the perfect handkerchiefs for my own wedding, but no matter where I looked, I couldn't find anything that met my high standards for quality and design. That's when I decided to take matters into my own hands and create my own collection of handkerchiefs. I poured my heart and soul into sourcing each one using the best fabrics and the most intricate embroidery techniques. I also learned how to embroider in order to add monograms and personal messages to our linens. At Bumblebee Linens, we offer the largest selection of hankies and linens on the internet. Our collection includes a wide variety of styles and designs from traditional embroidery to modern prints. And you can customize our linens with a monogram or text of your choice. Because we embroider everything in-house in the USA, we can offer fast turnaround times on personalized orders. I'm truly grateful for the opportunity to share my passion for beautiful linens with others. I invite you to visit Bumblebee Linens and discover the beauty and significance of these special items for yourself. Enjoy shopping with us.
Wow. That's
not bad, right?
No, it's very impressive. That's a lot of writing.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I got tired of waiting. I was like wondering when it was going to end because I didn't give it any guidelines.
I love how you're like, I dumped in a bunch of bullet points and then I got irritated that the computer took too long to do my job.
Well, I didn't know when it was going to end, so I got impatient because it was typing out long. Yeah. You can give it guidelines. Like I want it in like less than 100 words, 1,000 words or whatever, or 500 words. Yeah.
That's fascinating that it came up with all of that. Yes. Okay. So I don't know what to say. Like,
you don't know what to say, right? I did another one today too. I'm not going to read this next one, but let me just try to remember what the topic was here. It was our press mentions. Right? Because I wanted to talk about like our value props as well as, you know, kind of brag, social proof, essentially for our company, right? And it did a really good job with that one too. So what I did was I mentioned all the press mentions that we had, our value props, and then, and I said, make it more personal. Mm-hmm. And then it spit something out. I can publish these actually when we post this online, like this episode, but it did a great job.
So it feels like, I mean, that's well written, the Bumblebee Linens one. It feels like it levels the playing field a little bit for people that are, my first thought is like you're a one-man show business, right? You're getting started, you're trying to do all the things, and you're not maybe not a great copywriter, right? Or you're not a great writer in general. Like this seems to me to immediately like level the playing field between you and other people, because like that piece of content for Bumblebee sounds like something I would have written for you, right? Like it's not that I'm like this amazing writer, but I'm a good writer. And it, like that's probably the level of quality that I would give to somebody.
I think so. And in fact, I think writers are in trouble.
Yeah, that's
to a certain
Chase better hurry up and finish selling that copywriting course.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously you can't replace like a really good writer, but you can replace a lot of the writing, like the day-to-day writing that you might do.
Right
So
and then I think for people who are like copywriters and are freaking out right now, like you could use this tool to get all of the meat out of the way. And then you, as someone who's like a writing professional, will then massage that copy with all the little tricks and nuances that you use, that obviously I don't want to give them all away right now because AI is probably listening. I don't want to let them know. But there's definitely things like when I listen to that, like, okay, I probably would have phrased something like slightly differently. Like there's little things here and there, right? But for the most part, like 95% of it is really good.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Okay. Here's the other scary thing that you can actually have it write code. Like, I know this probably doesn't, you don't care about
this. No, I do
stuff.
Care maybe because now it's like I hear a whole new world playing in the background. A whole new world has opened up for me. I can get a robot to write code.
So just for fun, because I was doing a little bit of coding this morning also, there was an error with the code, like a syntax error, like it wouldn't compile.
Okay.
So I just cut and pasted it into AI and said, hey, can you just tell me where my error is? And it found it. You could actually have it write little snippets of code too, like, and you just have to describe what you want it to do.
What?
And in what language, and it will do it.
What?
Scary. And it does it very well. And it's nicely formatted too, actually, which makes it easy to read.
Well, if you can read code. I guess the problem is if you can't read code, you don't know if it's right or wrong.
But what, you know what I mean? Like anyone who codes, like the spaces, yeah, the tabs, yeah, the formatting, yeah, everything was nice. So this, you know, anyone who's not really a coder, or like a good coder, mm-hmm, could get replaced by this.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there's a lot more to coding. Like if you're a good coder, you actually understand like the computer architecture and what takes a long, mm-hmm, time and, you know, to make it faster. But, you know, a lot of people who study coding don't understand like the underlying hardware, right? So they could get by doing this stuff just by using the AI.
So do you think, okay, so one little, I guess the saving grace for people who are about to be obsolete because of this is that not everybody is capable of describing what they want to a robot.
Well, here's the beauty of it too. You can iteratively do it, right?
Okay.
Like, so let's say it doesn't come out with what you want. You just type it in the next line. You just said, like, make it less cheesy, mm-hmm, or make it more romantic, or, you know, the language.
Could I use this to or get write more the like Google Steve Sheets Chu formulas?
Yeah. Google Sheets formulas.
This is
what
like the number one thing that I Google all the time because I work in like spreadsheets a lot. And the number one thing that I Google lately or search on YouTube sometimes is how do I do a year over year growth percentage formula in Google Sheets? Right? Or how do I do a year over year, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, let's try. I have it open right now. So what is the question?
Let's see, I don't know. What's the code for a year over year growth percentage?
What's the formula?
In Google Sheets. You know where you plug it in for at the top and it.
I don't know if this question is going to work because I don't understand it either. What's the formula for a year over year percentage?
Year over year percentage growth. So like, I have
growth.
I have like, you know, this year I made $100,000. Last year I made $72,000. What's my year over year growth?
Oh, you need Google Sheets. You need ChatGPT to tell you that? Don't you just subtract it and then divide by the year?
Well, I want a formula so that it populates automatically in all the different like things that we're doing.
Okay. Write a Well, see, that's not really code.
No, but it's a question that they could answer, right?
But how are you expecting the answer to be?
I mean, they always say like it's an equal sign and then the column one,
oh,
and then the number and then
okay.
Yeah.
Write the macro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess okay. Macro's the
write the macro. I still don't think this is going to work cuz I don't quite understand the question.
I don't know. I Google it and I get the answer.
Oh, you did for a year over year percentage. Let's see what it just says. Okay, write a macro for Google Sheets for year-over-year percentage growth. Let's let this thing.
So I'm always, that's the main thing that I Google lately is how do I write a formula in Google Sheets?
Oh my God.
Does it do it?
I wish I could screenshot
this. Did it
do
it?
But it wrote a, shoot, you know what? Let me share my screen. Okay. This is for the pot. Like this is going to go on YouTube at some point. So let me share my screen here.
So yeah, that's.
Okay, check this out. Can you see this, Tony?
It's coming up for me, yeah.
See that function
yes,
that it wrote?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly.
And then it says to use the macro, enter this formula into a cell, replacing current year and previous year with the respective values.
Yeah. Look at this. No, like literally I Googled, and I don't Google this same question because obviously once I get that, I put it in there. But like I'm always like, I want to do a sum and an average and divide. But like I'm always trying to like get different formulas in Google Sheets, and I am not like a spreadsheet person. So I'm always Googling it. And then the problem is it's like, what always happens in Google is like the first two answers that look like you're going to actually get the answer, you click on it and it's like, with our tool, it'll automatically, you know, and I'm like, well, I don't want to pay for your tool when literally it's just a formula. And once I know how to do the formula, I can do it over and over again. Like I need to learn it one time. So it takes me like three or four clicks to get to the answer that actually shows me the formula that I can copy and then adjust to obviously my sheet. Yeah, that's a game changer. I'll only use it for that, but it'll be worth it.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I think Google in the future might be in trouble. So right now, it's still not great because like the data might be incorrect and only goes up to 2021. But assuming it has like all the knowledge scraped from the web, it's going to be way better than Google.
Right. So who owns this?
Because right now, you do a search on Google and you get all these entries. You have no idea what the heck, whether it answers your question or not. This one you just ask, and if it doesn't get it right the first time, you just refine your questions until you get what you want.
Who owns this now?
So it's OpenAI, and I think Elon Musk is an investor, but there's a bunch of investors as part of it.
So yeah, I just asked for a recipe. I'm sure Google's aware of all this stuff. And it literally is dumping out a recipe to me right now.
Yes, it works for that.
Okay. This is pretty cool. I have to admit, I was a skeptic. I see so many uses for it. Also, I don't know if my mom still listens to the podcast, but I can just send my mom a link to this now when she asks us how to do stuff.
You can. In fact, like if you want to get geeky and once they release this, there's an API so that you can literally, this is what I'm going to hope to do for My Wife Quit and Bumblebee Linens to answer like those tier one questions. Where the bot literally just knows all the information and just answers it like a human.
Does it answer it according to your specifications, though? Like, as I'm assuming you're saying it's going to live on your site.
You'd have to train it to your specifications. Yeah. So, for example, it might be like, how long does it take to ship a personalized hanky? And it'll know and it'll respond. Right. Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about what are the negatives? Yeah. There's got to be a huge downside to this.
The downside is I think kids these days with this will never do homework again.
Well, they'll do homework. They'll just do it all, ask this dude a question.
Like, this is what I don't like about stuff like this. And I'm just thinking about my kids because that's what I think about. Like life is just too easy for them.
It's no suffering.
Right. My daughter the other day was complaining that, you know, she couldn't find her song on Spotify or something like that. I'm like, did you know that when we were kids, we didn't even have the option of selecting the song?
We had to wait till it came on the radio. And then once it played, you knew you weren't going to get it for like another. And like, that was the other thing when we were growing up is like, you knew that, like, I knew I loved the song Our House. Like, that was one of my favorite songs when I was a kid. And it always was played at between like 5 and 6 p.m., which sometimes meant I couldn't listen to the radio because we were eating dinner. And obviously, we're not listening to the radio during dinner. So like that was like I was always like had the radio plugged in on the front porch because I was always outside doing stuff. And like I did not want to miss the chance because it usually came on at that time of day. Like you could kind of start seeing patterns in the radio station of when they played stuff. But yeah, if you missed it or if I was like down the street and I heard it, I'd have to like run back home so I could listen to like the second half of the song. So, yeah.
I used to run and have to hit record on my tape player to record the radio.
And then after that, we had to make mixtapes for people. And if you didn't like a song, you had to fast forward it, but you didn't know where to end. So it was a constant game. Okay, so kids aren't going to do homework.
Anyway, my point is that like I don't see how kids are going to learn these days. Maybe they don't have to. Maybe this is just like the calculator, right?
I was just thinking that. Like, how many teachers did you have? It's like, it's not like you're going to be able to have a calculator with you all the time when you grow up. Well, yes, I am, Mrs. Parrish. I actually do have a calculator with me at all times.
I mean, I already thought that Google was already going to doom people. But I think this is like a step beyond Google.
But I think the problem with it for kids is that it's definitely not teaching them anything. It's just giving them the information so they can spit it out somewhere else. But it's not, well, I mean, I don't know if it probably can do this, but the kids aren't going to understand the context of the information, right? So like you can spit out the data, but I think like, let's talk about like World War II, right? It probably spits out amazing World War II information, right? But unless you go all the way back to like World War I and like understand that conflict and understand like the positions of power that people were in the incestuous relationship of all the kings and like cousins and all of like World War II makes a lot more sense when you understand, because every time I watch a movie like a documentary or something like that, it's like, oh, well, that make like about historical events, they always make more sense to me, right? Because you get more context and more backstory. Whereas I feel like in a lot of even in textbooks, it's like, well, here's a fact. This is what happened. This is who did this. This is who did that. But there's not always like the why or the, you know, how. And so like, I feel like that's.
Try it.
Well, no, I'm sure it will. But like, I think it can't. Kids aren't going to digest all that in like one sitting.
Well, the point is the kids aren't going to learn it. Like, there's this class I took in college, the only class I did poorly in, and it was called Female Saints.
First of all, why?
Okay, at Stanford, mm-hmm. there's this feminist requirement. You have to take a class that's feminist and religious. So I thought I'd knock off two birds with one stone and took a class on female saints.
I appreciate your efficiency.
But if I had this open AI, I might have actually done well in the class.
But female saints, are that like of the Catholic saints? Is that what it was?
See, I don't even remember. I blocked that class out of my head.
I'm not Catholic, but I think only saints are Catholic. Maybe I could be wrong on this. That's probably not correct. Don't take any advice from us. We should ask it. Who are the female saints?
Anyway, who are the female saints? I don't want to belabor this point. I mean, what other... The other disadvantage is I think a lot of people are going to be disrupted out of their jobs.
So who should be worried?
I think content creators. I don't mean like the creative ones. I mean the people who just do writing. Writers for other people. I actually saw a video that was created by AI. And it was pretty good. It wasn't like a human talking. It was just narration over images that moved on a specific topic. But I can only imagine that in a couple of years, it'll be some random human that it made up doing the talking.
This is crazy.
It just lowers the barriers to entry for everything. So the way it just ups the bar, basically. You have to do a really good job on your content. You have to be original and whatnot. Stuff that a robot can't really replicate.
So what about I'm just like, my mind is like running right now. So I think about when I got started in e-commerce. Obviously, I took your course. I became friends with other e-commerce people. We shared information with each other, like who was having trouble with different aspects of the whole process. And then, you know, once I got going, I had someone hijack my listing. And you remember this on Amazon. And, you know, that's I don't know how common it is today. It was very common back then. And you pointed me to Lars, our good friend Lars, and he gave me like three or four strategies, two of which worked phenomenally, actually, and like propelled me to like really actually an amazing year. But Lars only knew that because he had had it happen to him and he had tried all these things and he had found success doing the things that he mentioned to me. So is that going to be replaced is my question. Is that level of like for you, like you've been importing goods from Asia for a long time. You have a whole process that like how much of your own personal knowledge and experience is really could be replicated by a computer?
I mean, I'm not worried about that aspect.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like that's the level people need to now be at. You can't just regurgitate information.
I see what your point is. Even if you are regurgitating information, people will still want a human for advice, right?
I don't know.
I mean,
Think
about how many courses are out there that all teach the same stuff. Like you sign up for the class because of the person behind it, not necessarily for the material, right?
But all you need is someone with a dynamic personality who just pulls all this crap off the internet. They don't have to know anything.
Actually, we already have that today. We already have that
today. Yeah, but now it...
Look on YouTube. Look on Facebook.
But I feel like now it opens up... At least before, you had to be like a little knowledgeable. Now you don't have to know a thing. You just have to be charismatic. Like, to me, it just opens the... This is where I see the negative. It opens the doors for like the snake oil salesman.
I think those doors have been open for a long time
already. Really? Like, I feel like it's just wider. Like, obviously, there's always been those people that like... sell the dream.
Because you can just Google your way to the top, right?
Yeah. But this seems like it has a lot better information than Google.
I mean, this is, yeah.
And easier, the barrier to entry is way lower. So, right, like, so say I don't know jack about e-commerce, right? But I'm going to start an e-commerce course. And I'm going to, like, sign up for a couple of courses and I'm just copying all of your information and all of, you know, Mike Jackness's information and all of whoever else, right? Like, and I'm going to compile it into my own course. And I have a dynamic personality, so people are going to, like, buy from me, right? Now I don't even have to do that. I can just, like, ask this thing, you know, give me this, give me that, give me 10 modules, blah, blah, blah. Like, the barrier to, like, it was a little bit more difficult to, like, copy and do that. Then now it doesn't seem like it's hard at all.
I think the problem, it's not that advanced yet. The problem is, number one, the information can be wrong and is wrong in a lot of cases. Two, it won't write out an entire like lesson plan for you. Right? You still have to fill in those gaps.
It
planned
my birthday party. I asked it. Yeah.
Oh, did you really? Okay. What did it say? Play it's, bingo?
It said shuffleboard and bingo. it's, you know, it gave like 6 ideas and then, you know, the whole like, you want to do something that makes it meaningful for you. But the shortbread recipe looks amazing. So, yeah, I feel like it's not too far off from that, though.
I'm worried about like software people, too. Like it, the problem is I haven't tested, like I entered in all this code, but I didn't test it.
Right.
I tested one piece.
Did it work?
Which worked,
so that's
yes.
the thing, though. Like, you can tell if a code works, but I can't tell. I mean, I guess I could.
Well, you could if you just
tried it. Right, and then I break my whole website, and it's like, oh, that didn't work. I mean, right? Like, that would be the, like, you don't, you could probably look at a code and say, oh, that looks off, or that's not the right way to do something, like, because you can write code. But as someone who can't write code, like, I could look at a link and tell you that link is written incorrectly, right? Because I know HTML. Or that's not going to bold something, or that's not going to center something. Like, I can look at that and know. But if I didn't know HTML, it could shoot out HTML to me, and I would be like, okay, and then put it in, and it could be, I mean, you would then know it was incorrect because you'd have to see it, but you have to implement it to know.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what other applications. Oh, I saw this in like a blog post. Someone had ChatGPT write like cards like to his wife and whatnot. You know, or just personal cards or thank you cards to his friends, like different versions. And the one to his wife, like he just kept modifying it. Like, hey, I wouldn't say this. I wouldn't say that. Tone it down here. And then he sent it to his wife and the wife thought it was him. Yeah, I mean, it just saves. It's going to make people question like the how genuine
what
anything
is. What about songwriters? Can it write a song?
Again, yes, it can write a song, and then you can even have the last word rhyme.
Is Taylor Swift in trouble? Like, what's going to happen?
Like, I don't know if it's good. I mean, I know that's definitely an application.
Yeah.
Well, let's try it right now. Write me a song about math. Write me a song about math. It timed me out. By the way, this site right now, there's so much activity on it right now.
Imagine
that. Yeah. Okay. Write me a song about math.
Something none of us...
Write me a rock song.
That none of us could ever do. Write about a rock math. Song about math. Yeah. No, you should...
Okay, I'm going to wait for this to do it.
You write a love ballad about math. Okay, so who's...
Oh, God, this is so cheesy. Let me just...
That was quick.
Math, oh math, you're a constant in our lives, adding, subtracting, multiplying, never letting us hide. Math, oh math, you're the rhythm in our world, counting, measuring, calculating. You're the pulse that keeps us going. Geometry and algebra, you unlock the secrets of the universe. Trigonometry and calculus, you help us find our purpose.
That's a good rhyme, actually.
Math.
Okay, I'm sold. I'm sorry. I'm changing careers. I'm going to be a music writer. I'm going to release my new album, Math is Awesome, in 2023. All songs written by ChatGPT. Who's not in trouble with this?
Anyone who's competent.
All competent people sit still. You're fine.
I mean, it's just like, if you think about the way the world's gone, like back when I started e-commerce, it was a lot harder because there was no Shopify, nothing, right? So you had to like code up your own shopping cart, whatnot. Today, it's really easy because anyone can just sign up for Shopify and start selling. So it increases the level of competition, but then like the foam rises to the top, like the people who know what they're doing rise to the top. It's happened with Amazon also. It's happened with blogging, right? Anyone can start a blog, right? So this is more of the same, except it feels a little different this time.
Yeah. At what point? Well, I guess you said they're going to open their API. Like, are they are they going to?
One form of the API is already open. I don't know if this latest iteration, and then the next version of this is coming out next year.
So, like, my question is, which will be, you probably don't know the answer, but like the next logical step to me is, when do you get to own it, right? Like, when does it get to live on Bumblebee Linens? When does it get to live on My Wife Quit or Happy Housewife? Like, at what point do we get a version of this where then our customers can interact with that? Because right now it's happening with like ManyChat, with the canned responses and things like that, right? Where people can like, where's my order, blah, blah, blah. I mean, in most companies have some level of like automated, you know, I had a problem with Marriott the other day and I texted them and they're like, is yours about an existing reservation? Do you need to make, you know, type A, B, C, or D, right? Obviously, this is way more intuitive and easier to use, right? Because after a while, you're like, no, it's not B. It's not B. Like you're yelling at the machine, right? This seems like you could type like, hey, I have a question about my Marriott reservation, 627-8513, whatever. And there's like a level there that's much superior to like the current iteration for most like customer service type things.
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that question, but in my mind, at least, like once it's all open, it shouldn't be a hard problem to integrate all that stuff. You're going to have to use it on OpenAI though. Like it'll make a call to OpenAI and then OpenAI will respond and then you.
And then the $1 million question is, how do they make money? Yeah. Like,
how do they make money? That's the easy part. They just charge right now. I mean, they kind of charge already. They charge you for usage.
I don't have to get my credit card.
Right now, this ChatGPT that we've been using is free right now, but they're going to charge for it. It takes a lot of compute, I'm sure.
So, I mean, so you think people will have to pay to use the tool in general? Okay, so go.
Unless they switch it around, but yeah.
It's free, people.
Yeah. Well, right now, it's just experimental. Like, it goes down, like... Yeah. All the time.
Well, it's because Gary Vee talked about it, and
but it's pretty amazing.
The internet.
Actually, everyone's been talking about it. Like my whole TikTok feed is ChatGPT right now.
I've seen one TikTok, but I have not been on social media a lot lately. So, I saw Gary Vee mention it yesterday. Well, I don't know. Maybe it was yesterday. I don't remember. But like at that point, I was like, oh, I should pay attention to Steve now.
Ha! You know, my wife is the same way. I'm like, check this out, this is crazy, and she's like, I don't want to try it. I was like, no, I'm telling you. Yeah, so she still hasn't tried it yet, but it's all fun and games until like I route all my communications with her to this robot. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.